Father, we just thank you for another night together in fellowship, and we thank you for just providing this time, and just ask you just guide us tonight and let us edify you, let us lift up each other, and we thank you for this fellowship. We thank you for everybody in this fellowship. We just ask you just bless them and just bless this evening. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So let's go ahead and just start off, you know, with prayer. And does anybody need prayer, or have anybody they want to pray for?
Yep. I would like prayer.
Okay, Leon.
Thank you. Last week, I mean, I don't usually do things like this. I'm a behind the scenes girl. I'm an intercessor, and I like it that way. And I saw that you were having the teleconference, and there was such a strong anointing on it that I said, oh my gosh, something's going on with this. And not only was there strong anointing on it, but it came up in the unction. So I was very excited about what the Lord wanted to either say or say to me, or what he wanted to say to the group. And so I got in on anticipating last week, and then there was no anointing on the whole thing, even though, you know, the revelation's high for all of us right now. We don't dare speak without the anointing, so I basically sat and burned on Tuesday, and, you know, not being able to speak. And then yesterday there was another anointing on this teleconference that was a good size, and then something was trying to be birthed. So I'm really not sure if the Lord has something to say to this group or if it's just for me, and I would like clarity on this, that we could all be in agreement on that the Lord would have his own way. I'm just going to pull back, and when the Holy Spirit has something to say, I'll be sure that, well, hopefully I'm going to press that star button twice the first time, right? But I'm kind of excited for what the Holy Spirit might want to bring forth to edify and build up the body of Christ. And there was also an anointing on me getting back to East Tennessee. And I would like another confirmation on that with clarity. And if anybody has a word for me or that we could just all agree in prayer that the Lord would just have his own way. Of course, I'm all for that.
Okay. Well, let's just pray. So, Father, we just ask that you just, Fiona's asking about just confirmation about, is it coming to East Tennessee or?
Yes. I've lived there off and on for a while, but the Lord has me here in California taking care of my parents right now, and but I heard that I would be coming back, but I'd like confirmation on that.
Okay. All right, so Father, we just ask that you'll just give Leona confirmation.
Yeah.
And we just put our faith together, Lord, that you'll give her a dream, that you'll just make it clear as far as the direction you want her to go in. And there'll be no doubt that it was from you and where she's supposed to be, Lord. So, Father, we just ask that you just let her know in your timing, and you know, not in her timing, but when you want to bring her back to East Tennessee, that you'll just make it clear and you'll just open up the doors, Lord. And we just we thank you for that, Lord. And we just thank you that tonight we'll be just led by the Holy Spirit, and that we'll all be guided by you and be edified edify you in all that we say. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else would like to pray? Have anybody they'd like to pray for or need prayer?
I need prayer. This is Amber.
Hey, Amber.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. I just found out my
what's
new...
What's up?
Yeah, well, the new place I'm moving into is not going to be quite ready on Sunday for my move. We can still move in, but they're going to be working on the bathroom. So I'd like to have everybody pray that we have some warm weather tomorrow and Saturday so that the painting and the mud that they're putting on will dry and that they'll get done quicker than anticipated.
Okay. I'm sure the Lord can provide that. So Father, right now we just thank you for just providing just the right weather, the right temperature, the right circumstances. We come against anything that will hinder finishing up that bathroom. We just ask that you give the people working on it the mind of Christ to to stay focused and to get it done quickly, and so Amber can get in there on Sunday. And we just thank you for just your favor in this situation, that you're going to pull this whole thing together. And we just put our faith together and just thank you for that in advance. We just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Forward. All righty. All right. Anybody else need prayer or like to pray? All right. How about testimonies? Anybody got a testimony? Amber, have you shared the testimony how that place came about? Or would you like to?
I don't think I've shared it on the conference call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. When I first moved here to Tennessee, this part of Tennessee, I couldn't find a place. I had a dog. I couldn't find a place in Madisonville that would accept dogs. And so I settled for a place in Sweetwater, which... about 30 minutes, drive, give or take. And but when I moved in, I started feeling like not to unpack a lot of stuff. And I felt like don't buy a lot of things for the house. Don't fill up the deep freeze. I just kept feeling the Lord him telling me to stop. And I kind of thought I was crazy for a while, but I just more and more I thought he was telling me that I wasn't going to be here long and he was going to move me. And then that gradually gets stronger, and I started, really wanting fellowship, and I think the Lord was putting his desire in me. And I was like, I'd really like to live in this where everybody else is, where all these women are living. It'd be so great just to pop over to their house or send Lexi over to play with them, and I really would like to live there, And again, I thought, well, maybe I'm being too specific. Maybe this is not the Lord. Maybe I'm just, So I talked to people, but I really started feeling like it was the Lord putting that desire in me, because I had, at that point, started to be really content where I was. But I felt that that's what he was leading me to do. So I, everybody was praying with me. And at one point, I still had my dog. So the house I wanted to move in, the landlord would not accept dogs. So that was, I was wanting somebody to move out and him to change and let me have a dog. So we were praying, that the gentleman, I wanted a specific house in the community. It had a nice porch. So I was praying that he'd get a nice job, a good job offer, and he'd move out. Well, at some point during that, another house in the area opened up, and I said, oh, well, maybe, it doesn't matter which house I was having faith for, and so I went and looked at it, and it seemed nice, and that same day, I heard that a friend was looking for a dog just like mine, and they'd been looking for weeks and weeks, and so I knew that the Lord was saying, I've got your dog taken care of, and so I thought that house was what the Lord had, because they, it was just a perfect mix for my dog, but that fell through, and Judy actually, that was the house Judy actually moved into. And it shook me up for a little bit. Then I realized, okay, that wasn't the house I was praying for. So I need to just keep holding. You know, that was hard. It's like, but he can make two houses open up. He can do that. So we just kept praying. And one day Belinda called me. She said, guess what? He's got a job offer to New Mexico, and he's moving out. So, you know, praise the Lord. He just, he provided. And my friends have the dog now, and she seems to just got along really well. She's just, you know, it's like she never knew us. And so I've got this really nice house, just what I wanted. So I praise the Lord that he gives us desires of our heart. And and he gave me the faith to do it. He gave me grace for that. So that's a testimony.
Amen. And the gentleman, you had no idea if he was even looking for a job, right?
No, I had no idea. I mean, we just said, no, that would... Let's bless him. Let's pray that he'll get a job offer that he can't refuse. And that's what happened.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. So,
yeah, it was very specific, you know. So he can do specific
prayers. Thank you, Lord.
Prayers. Yes. Thank you.
Amen. All right. Anybody else have a testimony to brag on the Lord?
Yeah, Tim.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I have a testimony. I don't even know when it was. I think last fall my ankle started bothering me, and I kept confessing it was healed, and it went on and on, and finally, now it's finally manifested it's healed, and I just praise the Lord for that, because I have to confess once in a while I felt, well, maybe I ought to go see if there's something else that's causing it, and, you know, you get kind of double-minded, but I kept confessing it was healed, and I praise the Lord that it is healed now.
Amen. That's awesome. Yeah, there's times I've prayed for something, and it got healed, and it was months later before I even realized that I was, you know, all of a sudden I realized that, hey, I haven't had that pain or whatever it was. Then I thought, man, I haven't had that pain for a while. Then I was like, wow, I've been healed for a while. I didn't even... You know, you just kind of stand in faith for some things, and then all of a sudden they just manifest. And sometimes it's months later before you even figure it out. You know, that thing that you were praying for way back there manifested, and because it hadn't been bothering you or whatever it was. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and then when it goes on for a while, Satan always tells you that's not going to get healed.
Oh yeah, that's what he's best at.
I would like to add something to that. I was sitting with my sons in a living room, and we were discussing something. I really don't remember exactly what it was, but it turned into a bad report, because, you know, some things just automatically go in that direction, even though we're positive thinking people, because the Lord requires us to keep a good report in the temple, you know, because that's who He is. It was turning into a negative report, and I felt the Holy Spirit, like in my spiritual kitchen, you know, where the rivers of living water flow. And the Lord was, I felt like the Lord was pulling out the pots and pans. I said, Lord, what is that? And He said, well, you know, if you want to eat that bad report, I'll fix it up for you. And I said, okay, wait a minute, guys, my sons. I said, wait, the Lord says if we want to eat that bad report, He'll fix it up for us, and we'll be obligated to eat that. And then I said, okay, I changed my order. I only want you to feed me a good report. So the Lord was kind of letting me know that, ask for whatever you want. He'll give it to you. He'll fix it up for you. If my words have a home in you, if my love has a home in you, then ask for whatever you want. I'll give it to you. So I thought that was a neat experience, that the Lord had caused me to interpret it that way. And and that the Lord wants to be feeding us a good report on everything that we put a good report on. And I guess that's why he wants us to bless everyone and let him decide the outcome on that. So, anyway.
Amen. Be it unto your faith. You know, if you've got faith for the bad report, that's what it's going to be. If you got faith unto the good report, that's what it's going to be.
God, when you eat that bad stuff, I'm going to bless everybody.
Well, it's just Wednesday. We had we get together to do a little, you know, Bible study, and Greg came in, and, you know, he was just talking about the two guys he works with, and, you know, they just walk in the morning, and they're just, you know, they don't know. I mean, they're just, the one guy's a baby Christian. I think the other guy's Catholic or something like that, but they just speak the curse and the bad report. So, you know, walks in, my legs get killing me, and all these, you know, then they just start, you know, confessing these things, Greg was kind of funny because he just sees where he just has to steer the conversation away from that and get it out of the bad report, the negative, and bring it back to the positive. And that's, you know, that's sometimes when we're around, you know, other people that really don't have the fullness, we got to kind of steer them back and, you know, away from that bad report.
You know, the more I go into this thing, the more the Lord shows me there's like two tables that we can eat off of, and one's according to the knowledge of good and evil, and this is according to the carnal mind. One's according to the natural man, and if we eat the knowledge of evil, then we're, you know, we're either thinking, oh, what evil will befall, or what bad situation will come, or what good might happen. So we're kind of double-minded there. But the Lord says that we don't eat off that table anymore, that our food is to do the will of the Father, right? And
amen.
His word's alive and powerful, so it's not like we can even eat off that table anymore of good and evil, because it keeps the devil's voice alive. And if he can keep putting his will be done on our plates, then he can work his evil through us. I'm thinking, I don't want to eat up that plate anymore. So this is where we feel the cross, because we're helpless now. We're crying out, Abba, Father, you know, my food is to do thy will today. And now I can't give myself anything. Now I can't, there's no way I can please the Lord. You know, I have no righteousness, so I hold out my hands and I receive the living word. I let the kingdom come in power, and my food is to do the will of my Father. So I'm saying, Lord, how do you want to bless your people? How do you want to bring your word forth in power and work powerfully through me? So it's really kind of changed everything. The Lord's worked this understanding in me this year, and it's the Lord is just making such strong moves on his people this year. It's amazing.
He's got to grow us up quick, because I think things are going to be changing quickly. So that's awesome that you've been in a growth spurt as far as that. So
yeah, I'm really appreciating the relief that I'm getting from the warfare now that he's cut that cord from that evil vine, you know, of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, and now it's just the word in power that I'm receiving continually, and I can rest. But you have to enter into the rest to receive the word in power, so it's a wonderful thing, you know.
Amen. All right, anybody else have a testimony you'd like to share? I'll share something that I was hoping that I was hoping I was going to have somebody come on and share a testimony, but I'll kind of share what happened is, Chad, I'm going to mute you. Anyways, make sure everybody's got their phones muted as far as that. Thank you.
Tell me, Tim. Mute me.
Okay. I got you, Wade. Anybody else? Leonie, do you have your phone muted?
No, I'm not quite sure how to do it.
Okay, I'm going to mute you, then you can come in. All right. So anyways, this week I ended up, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I forget when it was, but I ended up, I got up early, I had to go do something, and I decided that I was going to run and get a coffee. And, you know, so I ended up going to, there's a grocery store by us that has a Starbucks in there, and I you know, enjoy Starbucks, and I went in there, there was two girls working there, and the one, I was at the counter, and the one was making a drink, and I just kind of made a comment because it looked like a real foo-foo drink with all kinds of stuff on it, and it was some new thing that, you know, some new coffee they had, and, you know, I commented on it, and she says, oh, you know, we're supposed to sample all the new drinks that come out. And I just kind of made a little comment, you know, I said, well, what could be bad about, you know, about Starbucks? I mean, everything is good there. And this other girl made a comment. She says, no, she says, I don't like some tiramisu or something like that coffee. And she says, you ever had it? And I says, no, I don't think so. And so she goes over and she gets the bottle of flavoring and opens it up and puts it up to my nose so I could smell it. And I smelled it, and I said, whoa. I said, man, that smells like alcohol. And she said, exactly. That's why I don't like it. And she says, I've been clean and dry for 3 years now. And I said, praise God. I asked her, how did you get clean and dry? And she said, Jesus. And I was like, wow. I said, that's awesome. I said, you'll stay, if the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed, or made a comment like that. And then all of a sudden she just opened up to me, and, you know, she's probably early 20s, I'm guessing. She just opened up to me and she says, yeah, she said, you know, I came from a pretty rough background. She said, my father sexually abused me for years. And then she said, I don't know why I'm telling you this. And I've had a bunch of people say, I don't know why I'm telling you this. And I know it's the Lord. You know, it just happens to me all the time. And I, you know, so she just went on and she just started telling me how she was, you know, sexually abused by her father, and she was, trying to hide the pain and drugs and alcohol, and she ended up, you know, running off, and she, was kind of, you know, running from the situation, and she said she found herself, she was dancing in a club in Miami, Florida, and she said, I was just, I was a, you know, stripper, you know, dancing, and I was so messed up on drugs. She says, I don't even know what drugs I was on or where I was at. She said, I was just messed up this one night, and she said, I was on stage, and she said, the Lord spoke to me and said, what are you doing? And he says, I haven't forsaken you. And she said it was clear as day. She knew it was the Lord talking to her. And he saved her out of that pit. And she had the sparkle of Christ in her eyes and the joy of the Lord all over her. And she was, proclaiming her testimony, and it was awesome. She didn't care, you know, it was like she was, you know, working, and she didn't care. She was like, you know, she was kind of like saying, I've never done this before, you know, sharing her testimony, but she ended up just sharing that. And I told her, I said, man, I said, you've got a testimony. I said, nobody can take that away from you. I said, there's other, you know, girls, other women that you can help, that, you know, the Lord sets you free, and he's going to use this testimony to help others get free. And she says, yeah, she said, I just had the opportunity to share it at a women's conference this weekend. And she was telling me that there was like 17 young girls that came forth dealing with addictions and sexual addictions and different things like that. And they came forth and got set free. And she said, the Lord used me. And she was just, you know, she was all excited about it. And, you know, I encouraged her to just stay in the Word. I said, don't get skewed of man. You need to just press into the Lord, stay into the Word. And, you know, I just all kinds of, you know, just, and she was working. I mean, she was busy during this time, and I was just encouraging her. And, you know, so I was, what happened was she got real busy, and I just wrote down, I said, hey, I'd like you to share this testimony, and, gave her my number, and I said, if you feel comfortable, call me. And she didn't call. I was just praying that, you know, if she was supposed to share it, that the Lord would have her, you know, come forth and share it. But it just totally blessed me. I mean, I went out of there and I was in tears. It was like, man, Lord, you are so awesome. Here's this young girl that's just, you know, in the total, you know, mud and slop. And you just plucked her out of that. And and there was just so much joy in her, and just the sparkle in her eyes and that. It was just, I mean, it just totally blessed me. And it's really awesome. So, I mean, if the Lord can do that for her, I mean, the loved ones we're praying for and the people we're praying for, I mean, you know, he can speak to them, and he can pull anybody out of any situation, you know. So it just, I just see the, you know, just the love and just how awesome he is. But and at the time I really needed to hear that, because I was kind of in a situation where, you know, sometimes we get focused in on our trials or our situations, and he leads us to somebody that was like, you know, 10 times worse, or, you know, just the awesome things that he's doing. So, but, that testimony was just a breath of fresh air when she shared it. So I thought I would just share it with you guys, and, you know, just see how awesome the Lord is. So, amen. So, I'd like to pray for this young lady. So, Father, I just lift up this Kelly to you, Lord, and you are so awesome that you just, plucked her out of the pit. And, Father, we just thank you that you're going to use her mightily, Lord. I just ask that you just give her a hunger for your word, a hunger for your truth, Lord, that she won't get pulled into religion or just get, you know, lifted up by man or get, you know, used by man, you know, in the situation, that she'll be led of you as far as sharing this testimony. And I just bind up the principalities and powers from trying to steal that from her. And Lord, I just ask that you just guide her and just use her mightily, Lord. And there's so many lost out there, Lord, that need to be encouraged and need to hear the truth, and that they can get free from the bondages that they're in, Lord. And Father, we got people that we know that are running from you or that are just totally lost into this, you know, this muck of this world. And Lord, we just ask that you just do the same thing for them that you've done for this young lady, and speak to them and just, you know, just make yourself known and pull them out of the pit, Lord. And we just thank you for her and just bless her. And we thank you for the people we've been praying for, that you are an awesome God, and your promises are true. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else have a testimony?
Brother Tim?
Yes.
I don't know if it's a testimony, but at the opportune time, I would love to share something that I journaled this morning, and just felt that I had to share it with my husband. And then upon hearing it, he said, I believe you should share it with the fellowship this evening. And it just confirmed what was in my spirit about sharing it. So at the opportune time, I would love to share.
Well, Angie, if you want to share it now, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Okay. All right. Here I am. Here we go. Praise the Lord. So I often journal very regularly, but this morning I just felt that I had to share it with my husband. And so I'll just I'll share what I wrote out here. There's a message going forth in the spirit right now. It's a strong message of abiding in the vine, not striving in the vine, not seeking to make or build or produce anything, but abiding in the vine. As I lay in bed this morning, just awakening, I heard in my spirit, abiding, always believing in divine intervention, never doubting. Always believing in divine intervention, never doubting. What do we do when we doubt or when we feel something isn't moving fast enough or when we feel like it's just not happening, whatever is supposed to happen? First of all, feelings have no part in faith and they cannot coexist. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So abiding, true abiding in Christ, takes faith, great faith, the faith of God, which he has given his own. And we are not to throw away or replace with our own ideas, ideals, creations, understanding, or thoughts. Surrender is also a strong part of the equation in abiding. If we truly submit to the living God, if we truly rest in him, if we truly believe that his timing is perfect, if we truly believe he loves, he never leaves us or forsakes us, if we truly believe he is in control, and his best is for us. If we truly believe his ways are perfect and flawless and past finding out, if we truly love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, if we truly believe he is with us and that he never leaves us or forsakes us, we will let go. We will relinquish control. We will release the reins that we have been clutching onto in fear and in hope that we could do what we think we are to do. Yes, faith without works is dead. And yes, we must be doers of the word, not hearers of the word only, deceiving ourselves. But we are not to control our destinies, contrary to popular belief, contrary to the world's way, contrary to what man teaches in this world for personal gain, success, and satisfaction. This is not God's way. Abiding in the vine is what God requires of us. Abiding in Christ is what God requires of us. Abiding pure, simple abiding in rest, in assurance of who he is and whose we are, abiding in the resurrection life of Christ, abiding in delighting in the Lord, abiding in the presence of the Lord, abiding in the keeping of the Lord, abiding in the love of the Lord, abiding in knowing the promises of the Lord, abiding in the hope of the Lord, abiding in the faith of the Lord, abiding, always believing in divine intervention, never doubting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for allowing me to share this. God bless you.
God bless you. That was wonderful. Wow. That for most of this week, I was in the Word, and I started, the Lord had me in abiding in Christ. And I was just going through the Scriptures. I started out in abiding and ended up just, you know, looking up. And maybe I'll share some of that later, if you know, but it's just, you know, it's all about abiding and being in Christ. And that just, I mean, that just is, you know, just confirms, I mean, just what I've been studying all week, which is what he put on your heart and, you know, what he put on my heart. So I think he's trying to talk to us because that's so right on. Because a lot of us, you know, that's how I got into it, was just seeing that, you know, people aren't abiding. They just have believism, you know. Well, I just believe in Jesus, and you know, I'm saved. I'm going to fly away, and you know, all this stuff. And they really don't understand what abiding or being in Christ is. And it's all, everything is wrapped up as far as abiding and being in Christ. And so that was really good. But that's abiding in the vine. We got to be taking part of that. Like somebody said, you know, the sap of the vine. We gotta have his sap coming into us. And that's awesome. And that's what a lot of people don't understand either. Bearing fruit. I mean, you got to be abiding in the vine to bring forth fruit. So, thanks, Angie. That was wonderful. All right, anybody else have anything on their mind like to share?
Brother Tim.
Hey, Michael.
I just felt like the Lord has been really dealing deep with me, and I just needed to share a little bit with the people on UPM. Part of it I need to repent, and part of it I just want to share what he's speaking with me. I've been kicking against the goads lately, and I haven't known why. I mean, I've literally just been plowing, and sometimes it's been with great intensity, but I, finding out more about my own heart, I used to say about a friend of mine, I have a friend, a Polish brother, and I thought he was a stubborn fellow, and I used to say that if you harness that man with a mule, he'd break his neck. Well, I got to looking in the mirror the other day, and I kind of got the feeling that that was me. I was the man. It's like when David was responding to Nathan, and Nathan said, told him the story of the little lamb, and David's wrath was greatly kindled. He said, that man must die. And Nathan put his bony finger over and said, you are the man. And sometimes that's what it is. It's easy to see something in someone else sometimes because it's in your own self. So I've been very stubborn and didn't even know it. And I have a lot of, I'm a striver by nature, very intense striver, you know, and I can, you know, it used to be, you know, they say about Montana, you know, there's a lot of independent spirits up here, and they can out hike, out work, out shoot, out whatever, you know. But that's about useless in the kingdom of God. There's a place for tenacity, but, you know, it says in the scriptures. But anyway, I'll go into that in a minute. But what I wanted to say was I've been kicking really hard against the goads, and I don't know what I couldn't. And finally, the other night on Tuesday, when I tried to share, I knew that I was not in the spirit. I knew that when I shared it, that I was ministering a frustration, because you can share something and it can be a true word. And it's wrapped, as Watchman Nee said, it's wrapped in your human spirit. And if a person, for instance, is in a place of anger or frustration, that flavor will come forth with the word that's shared. And I've been experiencing, I've been striving and striving, and that my that what I shared was wrapped with a certain amount of frustration. And the Lord really began to deal with me the other day. And I turned to my wife and I said something to Angie, and she turned around and just nailed me. It was right on. She just hit me with a word that just kind of like handed me a grenade with the pin pulled, and I walked away and it blew up. And I just really got to see that. I think it sort of started back, there was several months ago I shared at UBM, and I was out of order because I was trying to encourage the people to memorize the Word of God, and I was, at this time, I was flowing, it was just flowing, it was just, it was coming out of the Spirit, it was a response. But when I made the statement to everybody that I memorize a chapter a week, the scripture says if you do your alms, don't do them before man. Do them before God. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand does, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father who seeth in secret shall reward you openly. And that was out of order for me to say that, and I made that statement. And you know, I had been in the book of Hebrews, and I had memorized in five chapters of Hebrews in 5 weeks, and it was just flowing like butter. And the second I made that statement before UBM, the grace was gone. And there was no more life in it, period. And I tell you what, it took months to finish the book of Hebrews, and it was not a flow anymore, and there was no more blessing in it or on it. But I'm being a bonehead somewhat. I plowed, just kept plowing and plowing, but not really recognizing what's going on here, because the grace was gone. And I just, first of all, want to repent for making, drawing attention to what I do or don't do. It should be something before God. And it's like, whether we're doing our duty, it's like a husband and a wife, whether we do our duty or whether we're doing what we do out of a heart of love. And I just, I really realized that, there's a subtle thing that can take place. It can be very subtle. It's like somebody, do we speak in tongues because we're filled with the Spirit, or are we filled with the Spirit because we speak in tongues? There is a difference. Do we fast because we're Christians, or are we Christians because we fast? And we can end up, the greatest chameleon that there is the self-life. The self-life can be extremely religious. I tell you what, it can do anything. It can do anything. It can imitate anything that's done in the Spirit, almost, in the sense that I used to fast before I met the Lord. When I was a New Age muffin head, I used to fast then. And self-life can fast. Self-life can memorize the Word of God. Self can preach. Self can teach. Self can go to a meeting and imitate the divine life. I mean, it really is very good at it. And I think with all of us, to varying degrees, I don't think any of us are in the place where we're batting 1,000 at walking in the Spirit. There's times we're moving in our own self-life. There's times we're moving in the Spirit. But I have lately been kicking, and I really realize that I'm standing here looking out in the field at an apple tree that I planted some time back. And all of a sudden, it burst in my spirit as I'm looking at that apple tree. I've been out there around that apple tree. I don't hear it grunting. I don't hear it sweating or groaning. I don't hear it kicking or fighting. It's abiding. It's just that thing that Angie and Tim were talking about. It's receiving the nurturing sunshine, the warm sun, and the sap is flowing. It's receiving the water and the rain that's falling upon it. It's abiding in the ground, and it's just a natural response. Because it's an apple tree, it's growing up into an apple tree. And if it were a pear tree, it would be growing up into a pear tree. I have one out there, pear tree. It's growing into a pear tree. Everything brings forth after its own kind. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. And I just recognize that I have gone back and forth. And as there was a strong reaction, like when I went to California and I saw the extreme other gospel that we all know about, the cheap grace gospel, or a gospel that says, just tell me something sweet, tell me something nice. I don't want to hear any hard thing, because my God is love, and my God would never do something like that, or he wouldn't be angry, or he wouldn't rebuke or chasten. And, you know, but there's two sides to that ditch. And I found myself from going from in reaction to the cheap grace gospel and the cheap grace message to, we got to buck up, we got to toughen up, we got to be more intense, we got to strive more, we got to, and I found myself without even knowing it, the scripture would be perfectly nail me between the eyes. Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, will you now be perfected in the flesh? And as I looked at this apple tree, I realized apple tree has a whole lot more understanding about what it's all about than what I do. Because all it's doing is abiding, and because of its nature, it's going to grow into an apple tree. And it's the same thing, the life of Christ. I was fishing one time. I had a man train me to fish that was a real expert, and he taught me how to work the drag, which is, it lets the line to go out just enough so that it won't break. And there's a fine balance on when you're fighting a fish. And I hooked this big fish with a light pole and ultralight line. And this fish was peeling line off and jumping and on and on. This went on for a long time. And I was fighting this tenuous battle, trying to keep it out of the heavy current where it would break off, but giving it enough line where it wouldn't snap the line. And after quite a season, I finally just, in my spirit, I don't even remember if I said it outward or if I said it in my spirit, but I said, give it up. And the Lord, just like that, spoke to my heart, you give it up. And all of a sudden, I realized this is kind of what happened. The Lord sets the hook in our life, and the first thing we do is start peeling offline, because there's that self-preservation that's in our natural man. The thing that nothing wants to die. Everything, that's a strong survival instinct is in everything that lives. Wants to, you know, they say a cornered rat can kill a man. The instinct to live, the survival, and our self-life wants to do that. And after I fought this fish very carefully for the longest time, I finally brought it in, and I saw the whole process to where I finally brought it up, belly up, without one more kick, one more dive, one more jump, ready to be filleted and fried and fed to the hungry. And I saw what the Lord was after when he was saying that, you give it up. And the self-preservation that's in our nature, believe me, it's learned how to survive in religious settings. It's learned how to do the right things. And to really the difference between, are you speaking in tongues because you're filled with the Holy Ghost, or are you filled with the Holy Ghost because you're speaking in tongues? There's a difference. And people can do the right things. They can say the right things. They can do works. They can do all the things. They can know the Bible. They can preach. And they can sing beautiful songs to the Lord. But it all comes down to, is this the source? Is the abiding that's going on? Is it coming forth, the source of it, out of the life of Christ, out of the work of the Holy Spirit, or is it us doing what we ought to do because we're Christians, and so this is what we ought to do? And so we do the right things, and Jesus said this, I'm always amazed, the most capable human being in the universe, Jesus Christ, in his time on the earth, when God was manifest in the flesh, and he says, I do nothing of myself. The words I speak, they're not my own. The Father works, hitherto I work. To be absolutely emptied, as it says that he, though he was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet he emptied himself. In the Greek, I think it's made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow of things in earth and things in heaven, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But Jesus emptied himself of his self-sufficiency, and this is something that I find it to be the greatest battle that I fight, is to continually, because we get to a place where, man, you know, I got this one, I can do this, I can do this. We get where we think, you know, I can do this. I could sing. I can preach. I can play the guitar. I can do. We get to a place of, where we just step into self-sufficiency. But Jesus said, "I do nothing of myself." And I found myself, and this is what I found that I was kicking against, is that I had come into a place of striving, in my own strength. And that is such a popular temptation. That's why the whole messianic movement is so strong right now, because people want to get back into a form, into the letter, go through all these things, and then you'll feel good about things. Because walking in the Spirit is not an easy thing. It's something that takes a continual casting down of imaginations, an emptying, a continual emptying of yourself, your self-sufficiency, your ability, your strength, what you can do, what you can't do. Because Jesus Christ laid it out in John 15. He said, I am the vine, you are branches. Every branch that abides in me and I in him brings forth much fruit. He said, without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. I mean, that's a humbling thing for a person to recognize. But he says, without me, you can do nothing. He says, he that's entered into the rest of God in John 4, in Hebrews 4, he says, has ceased from his own works. The real rest of God, where I think would be fulfilled in Galatians 2, when he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and yet not I, it's Christ that lives in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. But he says, no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. The bottom line is that that's the life that we want to see, the life of Jesus Christ manifested. There needs to be an emptying of our self-life, of our self-sufficiency, of our strength, of our ability, and coming to that place of dependency. We're all familiar with the scripture in, I think it's Proverbs 3, maybe 5 or something, where it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The hardest thing there for me is not to lean to my own understanding. Because we get around, we have some gray hair and some wrinkles on our hide, and we get to a place, we've been there and done that. We know some things, and but Jesus, you talk about somebody that knew some things, brother, and he emptied himself and made himself of no reputation and became a servant to all. And they said, I do nothing of myself. And that's the example that Christ set for us, that, brother, if there's anybody that should be dependent, if Christ was utterly dependent on the Heavenly Father and the leading of the Holy Spirit, what on earth should we be? What position should we take? Because I tell you, talk about somebody that can do nothing. That's us for sure. It says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul says, because of the abundance of revelation, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore I will gladly glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmity, distress, reproach, necessity, and persecution. For when I am weak, Christ is strong. Christ is strongest in our weakness. And when we think we're strong, Christ is hindered very deeply. And there's another one in Romans 10, verse 3, I think it is, where it says, in Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That's a very common malady. It wasn't just Israel. It's the natural man that tries somehow to... the righteousness that God has, I think of that verse that I think it's maybe, I'm just guessing, it's either Matthew 10 or 12, where he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart. He says, come unto me, all you that labor. This is the part. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and I'm lowly of heart. And you'll find rest for your soul. Now, if you're finding yourself, are you in that place where you're, come unto me, are you that are heavy laden? Anyway, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Weary and heavy laden. Do you ever find yourself weary and heavy laden? Is your Christian walk sometimes weary and heavy laden, or is it a flow of life? Because I really believe that God wants to bring us to the place where we don't. A.W. Tozer made a statement years ago. He said, "It's whether we have a groveling self-image or whether we have an image that a high, lofty self-image. The fact that we have an image of ourselves is an abomination to God. Christ needs to be our image. He needs to be our life. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we will appear with him in glory. We are complete in him. Circumcised with him, buried with him, raised with him. This whole thing, there's a whole, you know, we see that thing, and I think I have leaned awful hard on the first half of the scripture, but I think it's the wrong half to lean hard on, and that's the one that says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes and amen. And the second part is realizing that without him you can do nothing, for it is God at work within you to will and do his own good pleasure. When Jeremiah, the Lord spoke to Jeremiah, said, Jeremiah, before you were formed in the womb, I knew thee, I sanctified thee a prophet to the nations. And he said, oh, Lord God, behold, my child, I cannot speak. He said, don't say you're a child. You'll go where I send you. What I command you, that you'll speak. And it's not that, you know, this is automatically God's going to do it all for us, but there's another place where we really, anything that's going to be accomplished, in this, it's going to be accomplished by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be Christ manifest in us. Anything that has eternal consequence is going to be a manifestation of divine life, not an imitation of it. And it's going to be out of abiding that the Holy Spirit can flow in us and through us, manifest something eternal, something that truly counts, something that has life in it. And so that's what's been really going on lately. And I recognize that I've been weary and heavy laden because I've been striving in my strength. When you're weary and heavy laden, you're not moving in the Spirit. I don't believe that's there's a you know, it says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a point where we're in the Spirit, and there's a rest that takes place. Doesn't mean you could be like Paul and Silas in the bottom dungeon with your back laid wide open with a whip, your feet in stocks at midnight, singing the high praises of God. But their soul, their flesh was going through it, but their soul was in a healthy place, and they were singing the praises of God in the midst of a mad situation. And I believe whatever comes our way, we need to come to that place where, just like that apple tree, there's a simplicity in abiding, just receiving and drinking of that water that God showers upon that tree, abiding in the ground, receiving of the nutrients that are in the ground, and receiving the sunshine from heaven. I believe that that is really a close picture of, you know, it says this corruption will not inherit corruption, flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, neither will corruption inherit incorruption. And this life that's going to be, it's going to be Christ in us, that is going to be pleasing to the Father. It's going to be Christ manifest through us that's going to be pleasing to the Father. It's going to be his works, his fruit, his gifts, and his understanding, his wisdom, his love. And the closer we get to a place of where we pour ourselves out continually, whenever we've attained anything, pour it out before God as an offering, because we have nothing that we didn't first receive from God. And if we received it, why would we glory as though we received it? Now we got nothing apart from him. So I just want to, first of all, repent to the brothers for the times that I have moved, probably in the flesh, in reaction to things I was seeing, but I went on the other side of the ditch and fell in and didn't even know it. And I found myself bucking and kicking, and I'm going. And finally, the other night, I just came to a head, and I'm going, Lord, what am I kicking against? I feel like I'm plowing against something, like I'm, you know. And like I said, my wife dropped a little grenade upon me, and it burst in my spirit, and I went, oh man, wake up, Jack. Where have you been all your life? You know, and. Stay where we're not just living in the looseness of the flesh, or in legalism, or in self-attainment, and to realize that truly nothing spiritual, we can do nothing of ourselves. That's reality, and Christ set that example for us. So I want to first of all just repent to the brothers. I want to acknowledge that ever since I opened my mouth and made confession to everybody that I memorize a chapter a week. Well, that may have been good, and if I'd kept my mouth shut, I might have still been doing that, but it's been uphill ever since. If I opened my mouth, the grace left, and the Lord says, let's see what you can do without me. And I'll tell you what, it was hard. I could do it, but it was sweat. It was like that. It says in the scripture about the priests in the old days, they were not allowed to wear woolen garments because the Lord would have no one doing the ministry that was wear anything that causes sweat. Because sweat doesn't mix with the true work of God. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And so I was, when I entered into the sweat equity program, I'll tell you what, you know, it would have been easier to wrestle bears than to finish that book of Hebrews. And I just want to say that I repent to you, and I acknowledge, confess my sin, and like the scripture says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so I just confess that I've been a boneheaded ass in a lot of ways, and I have nothing to give unless God anoints me. I got nothing to say. I have nothing that I have apart from him, and if he doesn't do it through me, nothing's going to get done. So I repent, and I just ask that your brothers would forgive me and pray for me.
Amen. Thank you, Michael. I just I think we all can be boneheads from time to time, but because I can, yeah, I definitely relate with you, brother. And I just my flesh never wants to die, and it's always, you know, trying to stay alive. And you know, we get into, you know, striving and don't even know it. And, you know, that striving does bring forth the sweat because we're in works. And, you know, we do tend to react in the flesh in situations. And, you know, this crucified life, it's not easy. It is difficult because we've got, you know, the flesh fighting against, you know, teamed up with the demons. I want to keep that flesh alive. And, you know, going to the cross is very difficult. And, you know, dying to the, you know, putting to death the flesh. I mean, that old man is just constantly battling to, you know, to stay alive. And if he can't stay alive in one way through, you know, one area, you know, he always comes in through another area. So, you know, you might be dead to pride, but, you know, lust comes up, or, you know, just unforgiveness or criticalness or bitterness or whatever it is. And it's just trying to revive, you know, that old carnal nature. And, you know, it's just, you know, there's times that, you know, you're just... you're in the rest, and you're just staying in the Word and that, and the enemy, you know, will just come in and get you tripped up, and then when you fall or you mess up or whatever it is, it's just you don't see the Christ living in me, you know, you don't see the Christ, you just see the flesh. And And, you know, if you deal with rejection, then you're just start, you know, you just get focused in on that flesh and, you know, why'd you allow it or what happened or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, and that's just the flesh trying to stay alive. But, and we can be, you know, you said that, you know, we can be chameleons, and there's times where, you know, my wife sees the true me. There's times I put her through hell, you know, because I'm in a trial or whatever it is, and you know. But you don't want to portray that, and but that's pride, you know. That's the last trial I went through. I just I had too much pride to ask for prayer, and I got all kinds of people around me that can pray for me, and I was just kind of sliding down into the pit. And not, you know, reaching out to my lifeline, and because I had pride. So, but that's so true. I appreciate you sharing that, Michael. We love you, man. You just, we appreciate all you do. but for the body. So.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, I'd like to confess to being one of those bonehead asses too. Our flesh tries to take over, and it does in a lot of cases. And had an instance here in the last little bit that it had to be, the Lord had to bring it to my attention, and then I had a good friend that confirmed it to me, and I knew it all along. I just, you know how we do. Our flesh just wants to be pleased. Our flesh wants to live. And we need to be whacking it at every opportunity with the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit, and pushing it down. I had an opportunity to be a bonehead here in the last little bit, and I just want to kind of lay that out there. All of us have problems, and God is always working with us. And what we don't want to get into is when God does give a correction, that we go ahead and take that correction and turn back the other way. And it's always a good thing, like Michael was talking about. We all mess up at certain points and roads in our life. It's what we do with that correction. It's what we do when the Lord comes in and does that correction. Do we go ahead and receive it, Tim was talking about, do we allow our pride to take us down that road a little further and get beat on the head some more? Or do we just go ahead and repent and come back in and do what God wants us to do from that point on? So, we all get to go down that rabbit trail occasionally. Well, not more than occasionally, But God's working in us, and I praise God for that. That's my little tonight.
Michael?
Amen.
Michael, I'd like to add a dream that the Lord gave me last year. I dreamt I was in a classroom, and I was real, real thirsty, and I stepped outside, and I stuck my index finger in a glass, and water just naturally started pouring out into the glass, and I drank it, and it was so refreshing and good. But I was really, really thirsty, and so I took my left hand, and I started to express water out of my finger into the cup, and it gushed out. But also out with that came like little tinges of blood, and I took a sip of it, and it was really nasty. So I threw it on the ground and opened my eyes, and I knew what the Lord was trying to tell me in that. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he says, I don't want you to labor before me. I want you to let me freely give you everything by my power. All you have to do is rest and receive. Well, I was like, oh, Lord, my goodness, aren't you amazing? So it really is true. The kingdom's got to come in power, but we've got to receive it in a place of complete rest. Thank you, Lord, for meeting every need. Thank you, Lord, for providing for my finances according to your will for me, Christ Jesus, today. Thank you, Lord, for, feeding me, because, in these days, we might not have access to anything. And as long as we stay in that rest, let the Lord feed us with the ravens or bring water out of the rock, he's going to be faithful to do it, because he's not the liar, that our carnal minds would be the liar. But the Lord said, if my words have a home in you and you're in a place of rest. You can just hold out your hands. Don't labor before me, but freely receive all things supernaturally in Jesus' name. I will see to it that your needs are met and that you get safely home. So it's easier said than done, because your flesh is screaming to get out and do and to be. And the Lord is saying, no, rest. You ain't got nothing to give me, and you got nothing to go get for yourself. Now you belong to me, and you got to walk in the Spirit. Now you got to cry out, Abba, Father, and receive from me everything that you need for life and godliness.
Amen. Now that's so true. It's just, He wants us in the rest, and He just wants us receiving from Him. And He doesn't want us in works. He doesn't want us laboring. He wants us abiding. Abiding in the vine. That, that flesh wants acceptance and satisfaction and wants to be successful and look what I did and look what I have and look at me. And it doesn't want to die. So that's why the flesh is the enemy of God. And it's constantly trying to get us out of the rest. Constantly trying to get us into works, because if it gets us into works, then we lose the faith and grace. And wants to get us into judging and being critical, whatever it takes to get us out of the rest, get us into works, get us into sin. And it just, because it does not want to die. So that's so true.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Just to add a little bit to what you're saying, is when you do mess up, don't belabor the fact. Once you repent, go on. Get out of it. Get out of that pit. Climb on out that pit and go forward with Christ, because He doesn't remember it anymore. That's it. Don't worry about it. And that's where a lot of people mess up. They want to belabor the fact that they messed up, and they just want to just live in that and wallow in that, when you can't do that anymore. God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to get back up and get back abiding in Him, like y'all have been talking about. Abiding in Him is getting still and allowing the Lord to talk with you and to speak with you and to abide in Him, like the Word says. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
Amen. No, I just went through something where I'd gotten critical, and I was critical, basically critical is nothing but unforgiveness. And so it caused strife, and so then I was in works trying to control what I said so I wouldn't say anything critical. But if I forgave and I wasn't critical, I wouldn't have to worry about it. So I was in total works trying to watch my flesh, or, just watch what I say and all that. And it was it put me into works where I wasn't in, I didn't have faith or grace, and I wasn't I wasn't overcoming. And and that's good what you said. It's just when you overcome, it's just when you see something, take that correction, repent, and just know that it's taken care of and just move on. But our flesh and that wants us to kind of dwell on the situation. What happened? How could have I done that? Why did I say that? Whatever it is. And it gets our eyes off of Christ, gets them back on ourselves, and it just tries to pull us back into that pit, or tries to pull us back into that condemnation. And the flesh is always trying to justify. It's always trying to make excuses. It's always trying to justify. It's always trying to stay alive. And you know, if we just, you know, repent and go on and just, you know, that was the flesh, that's the enemy, that's, you know, that's what's trying to take you down, that's what's trying to separate you from Christ, it's trying to separate you from, you know, from God, trying to separate you from the fellowship, trying to separate you from your spouse. I mean, it just wants to divide and conquer. And if it can't get in one way, it tries to come in another way. But if we're abiding in that vine and we're not walking in criticalness or unforgiveness or sin or whatever it is, you know, we just got to keep our eyes on the Lord and don't give the enemy opportunity, because we're the one that gives them permission to, you know, turn us over to the tormentors or, you know, bring the curse on us or that, because, you know, it's us, you know, allowing it. So, but that's good. It's, you know, so we all mess up and we just got to see it, repent, move on, and don't dwell in it. Sometimes we tend to want to roll around in the mud a while. Amen. All right, anybody else got a thought or something like to share?
Brother Tim?
Yes.
Okay. I just feel led to pray. We've had three confessions here, and the word says to confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed, and I feel led to pray. May I?
Amen. That's awesome.
All right. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are so merciful. We thank you that you are such an awesome God. Full of grace, Lord God, full of mercy, full of splendor and majesty. So great and glorious and so humble. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you have heard the confession of each of these men before you. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that they are choosing the way of humility before you, Lord God, and that they are lining up with your spirit, Lord God. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, for their hearts for you, for their hearts after you. And I thank you, Lord, that each one of them will go all the way with you, because you are with them and for them. And you never leave them or forsake them. And you know everything, Lord, that they're going through and everything that they will face. And I thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening them, Lord, to overcome. And to be strong in you, Lord God, in the power of your might, Lord. And we give you the glory for that strength and for that power. And we thank you, Lord God, for your presence in each one of their lives. And we thank you for the gifts and callings on them. And we know that the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy those gifts and that calling on their lives and to take them down and to discourage them and to get them out of the race. And I declare this won't happen. They will run the race. They will finish well. In Christ Jesus, all things are possible. And because you know their hearts, Lord God, you are there to help them. And you are there, Lord God, to see them finish well and to fulfill all that you have called them to, Lord God, for your kingdom, for your glory, that you, Lord God, would be glorified through these men. So I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that you have heard their hearts, you have heard their confessions, you, Lord God, are honored in that they have yielded, Lord, to you with a spirit of humility. And I pray, Father, that the spirit of humility would be on them all the days of their lives. And I loose them from all pride, Lord God, and I pray that every day they would hate what is evil more and more, and that they wouldn't yield to it in any way. That they would die to the flesh daily, Lord God. That they would choose the things of the spirit, Lord God, and not fulfill anything, Lord God, that is fleshly, carnal, sensual, devilish, Lord God, but that they would go forth in you, Lord God, with your help, with your strength, by your spirit, in Jesus Christ's name. Bless them, Lord God, and strengthen them to run this race, Lord God, in your strength, with your power, for your glory, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Angie.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. God bless you.
That was an absolute blessing to me.
Hallelujah. Bless you, dear brother. Thank you. Thank you all. You're such a blessing to us. We so appreciate you.
Amen. All right, who's got something to share? Something on their heart?
I'd like to pray.
Okay.
Well, Father, I bring before you a couple of people that here locally that are kind of falling back by the wayside, it seems like. Lord, we've prayed for them. We're believing. We're thanking you for bringing them back in, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you do a quick work, a very quick work in them. And I ask, Lord, that you place faith in all of our hearts to believe they're going to come back stronger than ever, humbled with great humility, ready to serve you, Lord. You gave me a dream here a while back that we had a problem with a person, Lord, but they went home, they cleaned up, and they came back. They were a little bit hungover, but they came back ready for the battle. They were humbled. Father, I'm just believing that's what's going to happen. They're going to come back mightier than ever in you, Lord, not in self, not in flesh, not in any of that, Lord. We believe you're doing a great work in them, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing them back and being a part of the fellowship. In Jesus' name, I ask everybody to believe with me. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. We put our faith with yours. Thank you, Lord, that it is done. Amen. Hey, anybody else? Well, we've been talking about abiding in Christ, and that's something that the Lord had me in a kind of a Bible study this week. And he was just pointing out. I started out, I was just looking at abiding in Christ, and 1 John 2:4 says, "He that says he knows him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abides in him ought to himself also walk even as he walked." And, you know, I just see that there's, you know, it's walking as he walked. And that's, you know, that's just manifesting Christ in us. And 1 John 2:24 says, "As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abides in you, ye also shall abide in the Son and in the Father." And this is where a lot of the church is tripped up, is they're not abiding in what was heard from the beginning. And that's basically what Jesus taught the disciples, you know, the voice that they heard, the truth and the instruction that they heard, you know, taught by Christ, you know, was to be passed down through the disciples in the Word, and not the doctrine of man, but the Word manifested in Christ that was, you know, heard from the beginning. And because a lot of people just don't abide in the Word. They're not abiding in the Son because they really don't know the Son. They don't know the truth because they're listening to, you know, the doctrines of man. And so that kind of led me into, as far as that, you know, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God afore prepared that we should walk in them. And and whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teachings of Christ has not God. He that abides in the teachings, the same has both the Father and the Son. But I was really looking at, you know, in Christ. And when I looked up that word in, you know, it denotes, you know, a fixed position or a place in time or state. And it says, in relation to rest, it's, you know, it's where we're resting in a fixed position. And, you know, that you are present or enclosed by or surrounded by something, as being in a house or being in hell. You know, you're in something, you're surrounded by something, and that's how we are to be in Christ. Or it can be, you know, mixed together like sugar and tea. You know, we need to be, you know, that's how abiding in Him, we need to be mixed together. And when we have ourselves wholly over, you know, when we give ourselves wholly over to Christ, self is no longer alive, but Christ is manifested in us. And, you know, that's what it's all about. It's about, you know, manifesting Christ, walking as He walked, bearing the fruit of Christ. And, but I started to look up the scriptures, you know, just really looking at being in Christ. And the church looks at it, well, it's just believing in Christ is what a lot of them, you know, really think. Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, or I believe in Christ. But they really don't have the depth of what being in Christ is, what no longer living is, but Christ being manifest through us. And when you go through and start looking at the scriptures that talk about being in the Son or in Christ, there's so much there that when you break that out and you take it to a different realm, you know, take it out of that, well, just believism or whatever it is. But in Romans 6, it says, even so you also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. When we're in Christ Jesus, we have life unto God. And, you know, no sin reigns in our mortal body because, you know, because we're in Christ. And, you know, we're no longer instruments of unrighteousness, but we're, you know, we're members of His body, and we're instruments of righteousness unto God. And it says that, you know, for as in Adam all died, but also in Christ shall all be made alive. So that's, I mean, the life is in Christ. Eternal life is in Christ. Not just, you know, being alive, but eternally, you know, alive as far as that. You know, it says in Romans 6:22 that being made free from sin and becoming servants to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification and the end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And, you know, so there's different, you know, love is in Christ. It's, you know, 2 Timothy says, hold the pattern of sound words which thou hast heard from me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So we've got faith and love in Christ Jesus. We've got the love of God. Romans 8:39 says, and it's nor height nor depth or any creature shall be able to separate from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We know our salvation is in Christ Jesus, that, you know, we're made to sit with Him in the heavenlies if we're in Christ Jesus. You know, faith is in Christ Jesus. We've got provision. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Peace, and the peace of God which suppresses all understanding shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Authority and power, Luke 10:17, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subjected unto us in thy name. You know, so we've got all authority and power. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We've got spiritual circumcision in Christ Jesus. For we are circumcised, or we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So the flesh is cut off in Christ Jesus, and we're no longer under that flesh. So, I mean, there's just a lot of, you know, benefits here. We've got the mind of, you know, his mind. You know, we've got good works, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. That we are, you know, the sons of God, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You know, we are, you know, one body. In Romans 12:4-5, it says, for there's many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. And, you know, we've got the promises in Christ Jesus that the Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And Ephesians 1:12 says, to the end we should be unto the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in Christ, in whom you also have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance unto redemption of God's own possession, unto the praise of his glory. And when I looked that up, it says you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of his inheritance. And when I looked up that earnest, it's basically a pledge or earnest money. And it says deposited by the purchaser and forfeited if the purchase was not complete. And it had another reference to in the Greek, it was an engagement ring. So we were given the Holy Spirit of promise as an earnest, but we need to abide in that vine or we're going to forfeit. And, you know, just because you got the engagement ring doesn't mean that, it's, you know, the marriage is going to go through. So, you know, I thought that was, you know, pretty interesting. We've got every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. We've got liberty or freedom in Christ Jesus. We've got wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We are saints in Christ Jesus. We've got God's forgiveness, God's eternal glory, perfection, and it even says we get persecution. Ye and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And then we've got a warning that they that have fallen asleep in Christ Jesus have perished. So we definitely don't want to fall asleep in Christ Jesus. So there's a lot of, that's what I was telling Angie. I was just in the, you know, just looking at abiding in Christ and what it really means to be in Christ Jesus, and how the church has skewed that to, you know, just believe, but it's not about believing, it's about abiding, it's about obedience, it's about walking as he walked, which is to the cross, dying to self, allowing him to manifest through us. There's a lot more to it, but there's so many benefits in it. So, that's kind of where the Lord had me in the last few days. But I would just kind of share some of that. All right, anybody else have any thoughts?
Tim?
Yes?
Okay, I didn't know if I was doing this right.
You got it
you
right.
You know, I've been holding this thought since you gave your little talk, I guess it was three calls ago. And it's just a practical tip that helped my husband and I. We started this race in 1971. And learning to fight the good fight of faith and casting down vain imaginations is a real battle, you know, for all of us. And we had a teacher come by that really helped us because the devil is tricking us and making us think our thoughts are our thoughts and they're not our thoughts. And if we're being washed with the water of the word, we can discern the difference. But the thing is, he wants to cause us to have condemnation. And if we don't know how to cast down those vain imaginations quickly, we'll think they're our thoughts. And so this is what this teacher taught us, and it has served us well, you know, all of these years. And if you don't mind, I'd like to run through this little idea with you. You know, God says life and death is in the power of our tongue. And so I'm wanting everyone on the line to count to 10 to themselves when I say start. Okay, start counting to yourself 1 to 10. Now say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Okay. What happened to your counting? It was disturbed.
Yeah.
That is, life and death is in the power of our tongue. My husband and I learned when these vain imaginations would come in that, you know, the old man is dead. The dead man's talking, you know. And so we would just start recognizing it and just say, praise the Lord, or you can say Jesus or a scripture or anything. That's the power that we have in our tongue, and that'll break up the thoughts that we think are ours. And so I tell you what, sometimes people are hassled with a guilt or whatever that'll just, you know, if you have to say praise the Lord 10 times and break it up, God says if you resist the devil, he will flee. And I think this is a little, this little tip has just helped us greatly grow so we could go on and not have to go backwards, like, because it's not us. It's Satan many times tricking us, trying to trick us. And so, like, you may be more holy in the Lord than you think. The devil just doesn't want us to grow up. And so, anyway, that helped us to just knock that off. When the things came that would try to bring us down to make us think that, you know, they were our thoughts, and they aren't.
Amen.
So I just wanted to encourage everyone, because the devil's after us all, and as a man thinketh, so is he. And so just keep knocking off those things that aren't your thoughts, and they'll leave you alone, and you can just continue to grow up in Christ. But that's my thoughts.
Amen. Thanks, Linda.
You're welcome.
No, that's good. It's I got in the habit of just trying to just get up in the morning and just getting quiet with the Lord and just, you know, just get into the rest where I just didn't have any thoughts in my head. And you know, but the enemy will trip you up, and But that's, yeah, that's good. Because it just, because there's times where I, what's that?
Well, the devil wants us to think we haven't repented. The devil wants us to think there are thoughts when they're tricks. You know?
Right.
We just have to have that confidence that, you know, because there is a scripture in John that says, you know, we don't sin anymore. Now, if we do, we need to repent quickly. But it's supposed to be rare. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we just Amen. Not... So anyway, I did. It just gave us great peace because the battleground is in the mind, even when you have a renewed mind. And, of course, they even, you know, devil tried to trick Jesus. And he said, the word says... And we just do that too.
Amen. Amen. No, that's good. Sometimes those thoughts are so familiar. And,
yeah.
And that's really...
They're a lie.
Right. Because some of those thoughts we heard all our life. So it's really asking for the discernment to discern those thoughts. And to discern, you know, to discern the enemy and to, you know, to cast those things down. And just a lot, not allow them to take hold.
Amen.
But you know, but usually what will happen is that as far as with me, I've just noticed that I'll be in the rest for a while, and then something, you know, backdoor, you know, either pride or something, just a little criticalness, a little unforgiveness, and just.
But that may not be true. Is you know, the devil wants to keep us down. You
oh,
know
yeah.
you have forgiven everybody. You know your old man is dead. And that isn't you. Got to get used to being like Jesus, you know.
Right.
You got to be
right.
used to lining up with the Word of God that says who we are. The devil wants to just pull us back, where we'll never grow up in him completely. And we don't have time to stop right now. You know, we got to keep going fast.
Amen. Repent and get back on the narrow path. And
yeah, but the thing is,
get focused on in front of you.
Yeah, but the thing is, don't take it on. Don't take it that it is. You do have a problem. I mean, like we are supposed to walk like Christ. The old man is supposed to be dead. So when that happens, that's not us. You know, it shouldn't be us. It, you know, God says, repent quickly if it is us, but mostly it's just the devil tricking us because he you know, it's a trick. I'm going to stay dead. And my husband and I, you know, from 1971 on, we, you know, it takes practice.
Amen.
And, boy, I'm just used to doing that because I'm planning on the 100% fruit. And I can't waste time thinking these thoughts are mine when I'm dead. I'm just
That's true.
I'm insisting on staying dead. So anyway, it really helped us to, you know, because condemnation, he loves to cause the saints to think, oh, they're so bad, when it's not even their thoughts. They need to remember they're dead. And
yeah, the dead men don't strive. Dead men don't sweat. Dead men don't, you know.
But you have to fight in that good fight of faith and say,
amen.
Nope, I'm dead. That's not me. And then I'll, you know, just praise the Lord. Read the Bible out loud. It'll just shoo the devil off.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Yes, Lord. That's right. That's right. That's what faith is. That's what we're here for. We're here to walk with Jesus and not walk with the devil. Praise God. Thank
we're
you,
dead.
Lord.
We're
we
dead.
Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us too, placing that faith in us and allowing us to walk that walk you want us to walk, that faith walk, that walk that we know, that positive walk in you, Lord. But we have to listen. We have to stop and listen, Lord. And we know that. And but we need you to help us out sometimes. Sometimes we get in those places where we allow the flesh, Lord, and we need your help at that time. And you're so gracious to do that for us, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody, we got a few minutes left. Does anybody need prayer or have a comment or anything on their heart they'd like to get out before we close out tonight? Don't be shy.
Them is Joe yet?
Hey, Joe. What's on your heart?
Lord Joe, yesterday morning in my quiet time, how awesome he is. I'll read Psalm 19:7-11 if I can. The law of Jehovah is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Jehovah is sure, is making wise the simple. The precepts of Jehovah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Jehovah is pure, it enlightens the eyes. The fear of Jehovah is clean, endureth forever. The ordinance of Jehovah are true and righteous altogether. That's saying so much about our Lord.
Amen. That was Psalms 19?
Yeah, 19:7-11, yeah.
7-11. Awesome. The Lord is
so much
good.
About his law, his testimony, his precepts, his commandments, his fear. And there's so much everything about him. He's true, he's pure, he's perfect, he's holy, he's sure. It's unbelievable. It was just blessed my day.
That's a blessing. Thanks for sharing that, Jeff.
Thank you.
Boy, that was right on word there now. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm simple. I can tell you.
I thought you were a blockhead.
Do what?
I thought you were a blockhead.
No, yeah. Well, I am. I have been.
Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your deliverance. We thank you for your just, you know, all that you're doing in our lives. Thank you for the testimonies that have been brought forth. We thank you for just working in us for your perfect will. And we thank you for just the gift of repentance and just allowing us to just get our eyes back on you and that we are free in Christ. And we thank you for the renewed mind. And Lord, we just thank you for calling us into this walk, this crucified life, to walk pleasing to you, to walk as you walk, to put to death the old man, and to allow you to manifest through us, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the discerning of spirits, the discerning of lies, exposing the lies, the justifications, the areas where the enemies tend to just to trip us up or try to keep that old man alive and justify his life. And we just rebuke that in Jesus' name. We just thank you for just discerning the lies and allowing us to just to walk pleasing with you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just blessing everybody this week. Just guide them in their walk, and we thank you for just this time together that we can come together and confess our sins and pray for each other and you know, get free in you, Lord, get healed in you. And Lord, we thank you for the brethren here. We just thank you for just everybody you've brought together just that want to walk in light and come out of the darkness. Lord, bless each other, everyone this week, and just work in us all. Allow us to bless others and pray for others and stay fervent in prayer and pray for our loved ones. Lord, just put on our heart, you know, who you want us praying for, And just give us dreams and visions, Lord, as far as for correction or guidance. And allow us to remember those dreams and to discern what you're trying to show us. And, Lord, we just thank you for all that you're doing to, just because you love us and you want us to finish this race. So continue to guide us in this race, Lord. So, Father, we just bless everyone this week, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, everybody, we'll see you next Tuesday. We love you, and have a blessed week.